House Finance come to order. We have members.
Looks like we have all members present, as much as I'd like to say everybody's name.
It's back to order. We have before us House Bill or Senate Bill 84. We have a proposed CS. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move the House CS for the CS for Senate Bill number 84, 27-LS0465/O, dated 4/14/11.
And I'm going to object for explanation of the bill by Ms. Pierre, your staff working on assignment to several legislators in the final days.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Laura Pierre, staff to Representative Fairclough. I'm going to do a sectional analysis of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 84, and we'll go through it section by section. First off, Section 1 would add the Galena, Nenana, and Lower Cuscum School District boarding schools to the programs eligible for reimbursement costs, which is described in Section 13 of the bill. Section 2 would amend school funding formula to provide for the high school vocational education factor. That's set up in Section 3 of this bill. The adjusted daily membership of each school would be multiplied by the vocational and special needs factors. Section 3 would amend AS 1417-420A to include the high school vocational and technical instruction funding. This is to assist districts in providing vocational and technical instruction to students enrolled in grades 9 through 12. Section 4, the state funding calculation made for state boarding schools would now include the vocational and technical factor. Section 5 adds contributions to annual intercollegiate sports tournaments by accredited post-secondary schools and contributions to the Alaska Native Heritage and Cultural Centers. For educational purposes, to the list of contributions available for education tax credit, and for the combined limits taken by an annual insurer against the tax due for insurance premiums written in the state. Section 6 adds annual intercollegiate sports tournaments and Alaska Native Heritage Cultural Centers to the list of contributions available for tax credits for the combined limits against net incomes taxes due from a corporation. Section 7 would add annual intercollegiate sports tournaments and Alaska Native Heritage Cultural Centers to the list of contributions available for the educational tax credits against oil and gas production taxes and oil surcharges. Section 8 would add annual intercollegiate sports tournaments and Alaska Native Heritage Cultural Centers to the list of contributions available for the education tax credits for the combined limits taken against oil and gas exploration, production, and pipeline transportation property taxes. Section 9 would add annual intercollegiate sports tournaments and Alaska Native Heritage Cultural Centers to the list of contributions available for education tax credits for the combined limit for the combined limits taken against mining license taxes. Section 10 would add the annual intercollegiate sports tournaments and Alaska Native Heritage Cultural Centers to the list of contributions available for tax credits for the combined limits taken against fisheries, business, license taxes. Section 11 would add annual intercollegiate sports tournaments and Alaska Native Heritage Cultural Centers to the list of contributions available for education tax credits for the combined limits taken against fisheries, landing taxes. Section 12 would create a theme-based education pilot program in the Iditarod Area School District. The cost associated with this program is $1.5 million for fiscal years FY12, FY13, and FY14. Section 13 is the boarding school section mentioned in Section 3. This doubles the room and board stipend per pupil for the residential education programs for 2 years and for 10 months each year. Section 14 repeals the additional tax credits provided in Sections 5 through 11 of this bill on January 1st, 2021. And Section 15 extends the 2014 repeal date to 2021 for combined limits and individual tax credit maximums and modifications to the recipients of the contributions used for the tax credits. And Section 16 is the effective date, which is July 1st of this year.
Thank you, Ms. Pierre. Any questions for Ms. Pierre? Very thorough. I'll remove my objection for CS. Are there any other, is there an objection maintained? Hearing none. This finance CS, as previously moved, is before us. Okay. We do have some public testimony. I think we'll just jump right into that. Starting, I believe, in Fairbanks. And I apologize, we've had this on delay throughout the day. But as we're trying to get it prepared for committee. So first, I'll see if Mr. Lewis is still in Fairbanks. He's still ready to testify.
Yes, we're here in Fairbanks.
Okay. All right. Mr. Lewis, please go and identify yourself, your affiliations, and provide your testimony.
Pete Lewis, Superintendent, Fairbanks and Escarborough Borough School District. I'm here in support of SB 84 and would like to urge your support. I had a couple of quick questions with regard to the committee substitute that we heard. First of all, the term intercollegiate, are you referring to post-high school intercollegiate, or should that word be interscholastic?
No, you heard it correctly, intercollegiate.
I see. Okay. Secondly, I just wanted to make sure that both the base student allocation increase that was in the original bill, if that is still there, I'm here to urge your support to maintain both the vocational funding CTE piece and the base student allocation increase. That is vital for our school districts in making sure that we can at least try to keep some pace with inflation. So I urge your support of maintaining both aspects of the bill. Thank you.
Yes, the vocational section is in there.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Sangera.
I think the question was whether the base student allocation part was in there, and I don't see that in there anymore.
Yes.
It is?
No, it's there's an increase for the vocational technical, but it's not the same bill that was sent over in the Senate.
Mr. Chair.
Sure. Senator Tim Pierre.
Just to be clear, the base student allocation increase has been removed from this bill?
It will not be dealt with in this bill. Portion of it, the folk tech part is.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Let's see. Next, we have Barb Angai. Identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Barb Angaik. I serve as the president of the 13,000 members of NEA Alaska. And I, too, am here to support the provisions of SB 84. We are, of course, a little disappointed in what happened to the BSA provision, but we are very happy to see the increase in VOTEC CTE, however you want to refer to it. We believe that's a very important provision, and we think it's very important that it be a part of what we're doing to make sure that we're able to offer really comprehensive programs around the state. So we are very supportive of it, and anything else you can do to support education in the state, we certainly appreciate.
Well, we're not done with the process this year. So. Sure. Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Angaik? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mary Pearson from the I assume it's the Denali Borough. Are you still online, Ms. Pearson? We'll come back and check if you're online a little bit later. Don Smith, I know you're here.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Don Smith, Anchorage School Board. I'm not puzzled because I understand. I think there's the VSA is going to be taken up, possibly another bill. I am supporting vocational funding. As you know, Anchorage just passed $17 million in bonds on the 5th of April for expansion of vocational education in the junior and senior highs. I had pointed out to a number of you that I hope and I think there's some talk that possibly next year you'd consider putting junior high in, because we are going to be offering vocational education in those grades. I did not support this bill as it's written and hope that the BSA will find its way somewhere else.
Thank you. Mr. Rose.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I want to thank you for this opportunity to comment. A lot of conversation about school funding this year, especially in this last couple of days. First of all, on Senate Bill 84, we support the CTE component. My calculation, I believe, is still the same. It's $11.7 million for that factor. I see where Senate Bill 97 is countered for tomorrow. I assume that that is going to be one of the conversations that take place with regard to school funding. I think I'll stop there. We support Senate Bill 84. In its current form with the CS. We anticipate the conversation tomorrow will be for an increase in funding. I believe that if I just make this statement, the responsibility, I think, of the legislature is by general law to establish and maintain a system of education. We've done that, and in doing so, the foundation is how we maintain a system of education. I would encourage you to, as you look at funding the educational system, we have decided to fund the educational system and all of its operations through the foundation formula. And To depart from that formula could cause problems down the road. We don't have the time to go in it today. But for years, we have funded education through a foundation formula that would cover all of its operations and maintenance. And I will leave it at that. If the idea is to change the format of how we fund schools, then looking at a change in the foundation formula that would be consistent is the way to do it. I would hope that we could have more of a conversation under Senate Bill 97, but we support Senate Bill 84 under its current form and hope to have more of a conversation on Senate Bill 97.
Thank you. Representative Guerra, then Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know how to ask this question without getting close to violating the rules, so I'll take guidance. But there's this discussion going around that maybe the base student allocation will be dealt with in another bill that I don't know anything about. And this original bill included a base student allocation increase. I guess I would ask Mr. Rose, if there is no base student allocation increase, my understanding from each of the school districts I spoke to is that they would face staffing cuts. Is that a fair understanding?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, all the conversation that we've had to this point was through the BSA, establishing an increase through the BSA. The BSA has been removed from committee substitute for Senate Bill 84, and we're told that we'll have more of a conversation in another bill to follow. We would prefer to see a BSA because that would be reoccurring revenue that we could count on. If it doesn't come to us in a BSA, it will be one-time funding, and we will have to account for any reductions in funding on an annual basis. In the past, we have been able to identify funds a year or sometimes 3 years in advance. We used to have a forward funding mechanism. That is not the case now. I guess I may be going too far. But we don't have a forward funding mechanism, therefore our ability to plan for subsequent years will be dependent on the appropriation from this body whenever you decide to do it, and we'll build our budgets accordingly.
Thank you, Representative Guerra. Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Carl, don't we, you said everything comes for education through the foundation formula, but we have intensive care needs, PERS, TERS relief, cost differential, and transportation that's also funded, but that's not the BSA. And just for the record, we want to make sure that the people watching, and there might be some others that we, you know, we're just trying to pencil out real quick, like, that we take care of. I think that one of them also has to do with property values. If property values go up, local contribution goes go down, and the state pack picks that up too, and that's up to big money nowadays. So I think just to be fair, we just want to make sure that everybody knew that this is not the only way that education gets money.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, you're absolutely correct. Foundation formula is what we receive. It's about $1.2 billion. The PERS and TERS relief is about $500 million. That's a half a billion dollars. You're right. $107 million is for debt retirement. Transportation, you're absolutely correct.
Any increase in BSA if those are absent, and then is that a fair statement?
We just want to be, for people who watch online here, that there is beyond what's in the allocation here. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rose. Let's see. I think that was a list of people that had signed up to testify. Is there anybody else here in Juneau that wish to testify? Anybody on the off networks? Is Ms. Pearson from the Nelly Borough? She may have had to leave. I know we had a significant delay in our agenda. Well, if she does show up, we'll reopen public testimony since she was signed up earlier. But until then, we'll go ahead and close public testimony as a formality, but we'll reopen up if anybody that signed up shows up. Representative Fairclough on the fiscal notes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could ask committee members to, we have four fiscal notes. They are unnumbered. Three of them say draft. Mr. Chairman, would you like me to number those fiscal notes?
Why don't we do that? They do have OMB component numbers, but we'll number them by order.
So if we could start to label number one at the one that says 168,700.
And that's 12837.
Yes, the OMB number. So that will be fiscal note number one before we start through. Fiscal number note number two needs to be amended. Currently it says $38,434,000. That needs to be amended to $11.7 million all the way across, and that will be fiscal note number two. Fiscal note number three says $1,640,000. OMB component number 148, that's fiscal note number three. Fiscal note number four says $500,000 in FY 2012, 13, and 14. That is labeled fiscal note number four. Starting with fiscal note number one, Mr. Chairman, for $168,700, this is the Alaska Youth Challenge Academy money. They would see an increase of 110 to the current base student allocation of 5,680 to 5,790 for FY 12. Fiscal note number two is $11.7 million. This is specifically to create high school vocational education factor adjustment at 1.01 of the foundation formula. The adjustment follows the special need factor adjustment of 1.20 and would generate state funding in the amount of approximately $11,700,000. Fiscal note number three, for $1,640,000, is an increase for residential boarding home stipends by doubling the existing amount for 2 years in FY 2012 and 2013. Fiscal note number four totals $1.5 million. In FY 12, 13, and 14, there are $500,000 in each year. This fiscal note creates funding for high school vocational. That's not what that does.
That's the project.
Please strip off the back of fiscal note number four. That's incorrect. The $500,000 is to implement a pilot program for Iditarod School District for 3 years to help create a curriculum and a model for a theme-based education.
We're going to stand briefly at ease here. restart the fiscal process to try to alleviate confusion. My apologies.
Mr. Chairman, the paperwork is trying to catch up with the CS. The fiscal notes.
I guess it's that time of the year.
The committee has been provided three fiscal notes, all of which say draft. Fiscal note number one, OMB component number 141. $11,731,500 from FY 2012 through FY 2017 is fiscal note number one. That is funding for the VOC High School VOC Educational Program.
This one's gone.
Fiscal note number two, OMB component number 148. FY 2012, FY 2013, $1,640,000 for the residential boarding home stipend. Number two. Fiscal note number three, OMB component number 2796. Fiscal year 2012, 13, and 14, $500,000 per year. Pilot project for Iditarod School District. Theme-based education.
Okay. My apologies for that little hiccup there. Does everybody understand those three fiscal notes? There's three fiscal notes now.
Mr. Chair, just on the fiscal notes?
Yes, Representative Guerra.
I probably misheard it, but the first fiscal note I heard was $11,731,000, which used to be for the base student allocation, which isn't in this bill, but the number that you had referred to, then you followed up saying that was for the technical, VOC tech part. So the $11,731,000 one, which says it's for the BSA, is it for the BSA?
The BSA has been removed, Representative Guerra. The item on the bottom that says the portion of the BSA should be struck from the fiscal note. The second page describes specifically what's on the fiscal note.
I see.
Any other questions on the fiscal note? Representative Dugan. Your microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was happy not to hear.
I'm sure you were. I'd be happy to whisper if it would help.
That's okay.
Let's see. That one's okay. The number in now what is fiscal note number one, which is $11,731,000.5. What is that number represent? Is it something that's been pulled out of a previous?
That's a portion of the version that came to this committee.
Thank you. And is it an increase in the things that are being funded?
There are increases in that funding component.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And finally, I think. And
for VOC Tech, just for the folks who are listening.
Right. Thank you. And on the $500,000 repeating three times fiscal note was said as a pilot project in theme based education. Can somebody tell me what that is?
Sure. Actually, we have the proponent of it in the back room, Representative Dick. And we do have a time limit. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I've been an educator in Western Alaska since the late 70s. Been travel all most community, many communities, all the regions in the bush. And as I've traveled the schools, I've asked many teachers, is this working? And almost universally, the answer is no. And I ask them, what is the answer? And what will work? And almost in a whisper, they say, theme-based teaching. And they whisper because they know it's beyond their hope of it ever happening, and you have the opportunity to make that happen. And as I've sat with these two pieces of paper in my hand, realizing that I have the dream, one of the superintendents said to me, this is the culmination of my career. And without any attempt to malign the current system, there's many that feel that the current system is not teaching, not preparing students for the future. It's preparing them for a model that was based on assembly line, and that we need to prepare students for the future using higher level thinking skills, not just comprehension and recall, but also evaluation, synthesis, and analysis. There we go. And anyway, so as I've talked with educators across the state and people who have dedicated their whole lives to what will work not only in the bush, but in all schools, there's one word that comes up, and that word is relevance. And the question is, how can we make school relevant? Theme-based education, I really believe, and I'm not definitely not alone in this. I told folks in rules today that there was a tsunami in Japan. And that was a devastating tsunami, but I've received a tsunami of calls and encouragement to go forward with this, because there's teachers all over Alaska that really do believe that theme-based education will turn things around. What I'm asking now is just for $500,000 a year to pilot in the district. And when I sent these papers, when I sent my little papers to the superintendent, Karen Lettergaard, in that school district, I sent it to her, and she said, Alan, this is almost a carbon copy of the mandate I received from my school board 2 weeks ago. And I knew when I heard that this is the place to pilot this program. The encouraging part about Iditarod School District is that they have Yupik people, and they have Degatan, Holukachuk, they've got Dunaina, they've got Upper Kuskokwim, they've got many flavors of Athabaskan in that district. It's really a melting point. And I really believe, I know it will succeed in this district. We're going to get feedback, accurate feedback from them. And I know that what comes out of this project will really inspire our teachers all over the bush and give you the confidence to support this on a greater scale in the future.
Representative Wilson? I'm sorry, Representative Dugan.
That's okay. I appreciate your enthusiasm, Representative Dick, but my question was really, what is theme-based education? I mean, how is it different from the regular kind of education?
To the chair, Representative Dugan. Right now, we basically teach to disciplines, math, science, social studies, okay, which are basically, they're like silos. They're fragments. There's very little connection between 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, between social studies and math. Theme-based education is a whole way of the same information, same academic standards, same challenges, but it organizes that information in a way that the student can relate to. Example, give me an example. If you put had a theme of, say, hunting, you might be able to say, well, what science can we teach with hunting? And the answer is, well, you teach anatomy, you can teach in wildlife behavior, you could teach geology, you could teach, what math could you teach? What social studies? Well, we could do subsistence versus big game guides. We could go on. We have a time limit here. So the idea there is to put a theme in the middle, something that students can relate to, and we could have the community pick that theme, and we as good educators should be able to relate math, science, social studies, the traditional disciplines, those that we now teach in silo, to something that everything intertwines holistically, relates to something the student can hold in their mind, and it's really a lifetime learning model. Then anytime you take on any new task or any new challenge, you use that. Is that sufficient? I can go on.
Thank you very much.
Representative Wilson.
Asked and answered. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Dick. Representative Dick.
And thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
Okay. Do we have any amendments?
What is being passed out, Mr. Chair?
We'll just stand. Is it pretty quick here? We'll just stand briefly, these. House Finance come back to order. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number one. It's got to be conceptual in so far as the drafter will have to figure out where in the bill.
I think it's pretty clear in its intent. So there was an objection? Okay. Representative Guerra.
Mr. Chair, my understanding the whole time, and my understanding is often wrong, but my understanding the whole time was that we would be seeing a base student allocation bill tonight. I have done a quick check, and I can't tell you that it's thorough, but I don't see any other bill that's coming before the Finance Committee that has the opportunity to include a base student allocation increase. If there have been discussions among other people that they will add it somewhere else, I don't see a bill where it can be added. So if there's a plan to do a base student allocation, I just don't know about it. We only have a couple days, or according to the speaker, maybe a couple months left in the session. So that's why I'm offering a base student allocation amendment as part of this bill. The previous discussion in this legislature has been to do 3 years' worth of base student allocation increases, and that got cut down to one. But what this one does is it barely keeps up with inflation. It goes from 5680, which is the governor's proposal of flat funding, to 5790. My quick math is that's a little bit less than a 2% increase, so maybe on the little low end of inflation, but that's the number that many people have been discussing around the building, and I don't know that I can do any better than that. We hear the discussion all the time that if we keep throwing money at schools and not getting any results. Well, number one, the results are starting to show up. Graduation rates are going up. But the one way you're not going to get results is to give schools less money than you gave them last year without some other alternative plan for providing education. I have no doubt that maybe there's another way we could provide education in the state, but there's no plan like that in this building this year. So the way we fund education is through the base student allocation until somebody says, I've got a new plan, and there is no new plan that we're discussing this year. Without this amendment, the school districts that have come into my office have said they're going to face teacher layoffs, program cuts, and so I don't see how that advances educational opportunity. I don't see how that advances education. We have heard that the rural school districts have gotten a lot of money over the last few years. That money was not to offset inflation. That money was intended to
catch... Your photographer's right there.
That money was intended to catch rural school districts up for inequitable funding in the past. But without this amendment, what that money is going to have to be used for is to offset inflation. So this amendment simply tries to approximate the rate of inflation so that school districts don't fall behind. You know, we're talking about telling rural school districts they have to add new teachers and new programs. And with flat funding, I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know how they're going to do that anyway. So without seeing any other vehicle to add a base student allocation increase, I think this is really the only place we can do it. At least the only place I know of we can do it. This is a very modest increase, and I hope the committee can support it.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm excited about this bill. I think it's thinking outside the box. We keep hearing that we have
just
students.
To the amendment.
Oh, to the amendment. I think the bill already includes everything we need to. I don't think we need anything else in there, because I think it's a great bill as it is. Thank you.
Other comments? Yeah, I just want to clear up any misconception. Education support isn't always through the BSA, and there's other avenues. So just for that general comment on my opposition to the amendment. Representative Thomas.
Thank you. The other day we were talking about this, and people talked about the success that we've had with the money, and I asked for a report from the Department of Education to show me the success rates over the last 3 and 4 years when we gave increment increases, and I've not seen that for one, so I'm a no on this. Thank you.
Clerk, okay. Call the roll.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Jewell?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Olson?
No.
Representative Costello?
No.
Representative Dugan?
Yes.
Representative Hatchman?
No.
Representative Fairclough?
No.
Representative Thomas?
No.
Representative Stoltz?
No. Clerk, please read the roll.
8 nay, 3 yay.
So amendment number one has failed. Are there any other amendments? Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee House CS for the CS for Senate Bill number 84, Finance 27-LS0465-O, and 3 fiscal notes with individual committee recommendations.
Objections to this bill moving to committee? Hearing none, House Bill or Senate Bill 84. Finance with the attached fiscal notes is moved from committee. We're going to recess to the call of the chair just in case other issues come before us. We still have options open to meet. We may or may not meet tomorrow depending upon ongoing discussions. But we're not coming back tonight. I'm not going to. So. But that. We're recessed to the call of the chair.